Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Morning Show, Community Conversations. We're starting a new year, but we're coming to you from the great before as we record these things previous to the weekend. It's still 2021 where we are today, Julie, isn't it?
Well, that depends on the where we are, Phil. You're in Sandpoint and I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, the time difference isn't that great. I think it's still 2021. Although I'm wondering if you're colder than we are. Usually Minnesota is, but today we're single digits. Car thermometer registered 9 degrees on the drive in.
Oh my goodness. No, it's about 7 here north, just north of St. Paul, Minnesota. So we're a little bit colder, but it is cold and crisp and sunny. So yeah. I'm okay with it.
Well, hopefully as listeners listen to this, it has warmed up to the more balmy temperatures in the mid-20s or low 30s that Sandpoint usually is the first week of the year. But I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to 2020.
And 2022.
I'm looking forward to 2020 still. I think we missed that year completely, but there's no better way to start a new year, I think, than with celebrating some of the guests who have come on frequently and always have things to talk about through the seasons. And two of those are the folks from Round Lake State Park, where things are hopping all throughout the year. And we are delighted today to once again have on Round Lake State Park manager Mary McGraw and Round Lake State Park ranger Bart Gutke. Welcome to the show, Mary and Bart.
Good morning and happy new year.
Thank you.
So,
same to you guys.
Yes, longtime listeners will be familiar with Mary and Bart, but we have a lot of new listeners, I think, especially in the last year. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, what you do, and then also a little bit about the history of how you came to Round Lake State Park. Mary, why don't we start with you?
Right. My name is Mary McGraw. I'm the park manager here at Round Lake. I've been the manager for just about 5 years now, although I spent the previous 20 years as the ranger here. So I've been here at the park for 25 years. I've been with the department for almost 35 years now. So been around the state a little bit, moved up to North Idaho after working for 10 years in the Southern Idaho. Moved up here and it just reminded me so much of where I grew up and some of the things that I love, where I grew up, the trees and the forest. And that just really set with me. And so I just had to stay here at Round Lake and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
That's great. And Bart.
My name's Bart Gutke.
Go for it, Bart.
Oh, sorry about that, Kelly or Julie. Excuse me. I stepped on you there a little bit.
It's because
my name's Bart Gutke.
Going on. Go ahead. We'll get through this.
Absolutely. My name is Bart Gutke, and I'm the park ranger here at Round Lake State Park. I've been the park ranger here for just under 5 years, and I'm also a transplant from Southern Idaho. Prior to working here, I began my career at Bruno Dunes State Park, which is just east of Boise. And so it's about as opposite of a state park to Round Lake as you can get within the state of Idaho. One of the things I noticed when I moved up here is I just forgot how much green there was in the world living down there with the cheatgrass and the tumbleweeds. So I've been with the department for just under 10 years and sure love it up here at the beautiful Round Lake.
Yeah, it sure brings out the diversity in our state to consider the two differences in those parks and in the whole park system. And I think that's one of the things that really makes a system of state parks wonderful, not just an individual one.
I agree.
And you know, with that thought in mind, it's the diversity of the seasons also that I think highlight the great value of the park. And every season seems to bring its own charm to Round Lake. But we're here in the first week of January. So tell us what winter is like at the park.
The winter this year is much more like winter should be compared to what it has been in the past couple years. Right now with the snow that we got over the Christmas weekend, we're sitting at about 26 to 30 inches of snow, more snow than we've had in quite a while. It's definitely kept us busy. There's people definitely getting out, enjoying it. They're still walking their dogs on the trails. A lot of snowshoers, cross-country skiers are getting their Christmas gifts out and giving them a try. The ice is starting to set up. It looked like there was about maybe 3 inches. That snow kind of insulated it and kind of slowed that process down. But looks like we're well on our way to a good ice fishing season too. So.
Yeah, so let's take a quick rundown of some of the activities out there. You mentioned ice fishing, and I know there's a lot of folks that do that, and cross-country skiing, but tell us about some of the other winter recreations.
Yeah, we have, like I said, the ice skating, not ice skating right now, the ice skating is not very good, but the cross-country skiing, the snowshoeing are pretty good. We are... also got the fat tire enthusiasts that come out, and definitely they've been out. The trail's staying pretty well packed, so the trail is still in pretty good shape for them. You know, and a lot of people like to just get out and mosey around, continue to hike. The trail is packed down enough at this point that the hikers are still out there walking the dogs and getting out and checking out the creek is flowing. Seeing if there's any eagles out. Most of the eagles right now are over on the Ponderay and the Coeur d'Alene lakes. But there's a few out here. The animals have been pretty sparse of the last week or so. You know, fewer deer moving around. So there's a lot of photography opportunities to get out there and see the snow, how the snow piles up, how the snowflakes are, you know, every once in a while the snow, you can actually see the snowflake. So it's a great time to do some photography.
And there's
sure is. Mary, I have it on good high authority, and good authority being my husband, that the cross country skiing really is very good right now at Round Lake, and it isn't always the case. He's been enjoying it. And yes, hikers all the time. It's just a great place to take any kind of a walk and enjoy the lake, whether it's open or frozen. It's just a great little escape from town.
I've noticed that there are still campers coming to camp, that campgrounds open year round. I think that's not something everybody knows.
No, we have pretty limited camping at this point. We keep a couple of our camp spots plowed open, just the spur for parking. If you want to come in and camp, you're welcome to. We get little trailers, even some tenters. A lot of the scouting groups like to come up and do their winter outings here, which works out great. The fire pits are still available. We do have one campsite that has electrical hookups. Of course, we don't have any water. But yeah, we try and keep some of our campsites open. That way people passing through the area, occasionally we'll get people going skiing up on the ski mountain up at Schweitzer, and they'll drive this far, stay the night, get up early and get some of that fresh powder up at Schweitzer. So it's a great opportunity to be able to do that relatively inexpensively. So, or, you know, the skiing's good. Hotels are hard to find in town too. So it's a great way to get out and enjoy the winter for sure.
Yeah, for the hardy, very hardy, the hardy souls. Mary, you mentioned that the animals are a little bit scarce at the moment, and the eagles may be over on Ponderay eating kokanee. But what kind of animals might we expect to see in the wintertime if we were to take a hike or a snowshoe?
Yeah, the deer are pretty popular. They're moving around still. We see a lot of their tracks, even though we're not seeing them so much. I think during the day, they're kind of hiding out a little bit, staying undercover, trying to stay warm. And at night, they come out and eat. The turkeys have been out. They're funny. They almost look like penguins trying to waddle through that deep snow. definitely more of a challenge for them. There's, you know, some birds here and there. The woodpeckers are out. We've, like I said, seen some eagles still here. Even though the lake is frozen, the creek, the Cocalala Creek leading into it and exiting the creek, they will fly and feed out of the creek. So there's still opportunity for them. Beavers, of course, the creek is still moving. That hasn't froze. So the beavers have been pretty active down in the creek, as well as potentially some of the muskrats and maybe even the mink are probably out and about.
Yeah, in fact, I noticed that there's been a beaver family or beaver trying to make a little beaver dam right at one of the bridges over the creek. What's happening there? Did you all have to disassemble that? What's going on with that little beaver dam that keeps trying to get built?
At this point, we're kind of just watching it, see how that progresses. It's kind of right at the concrete dam, at the check dam, just down the trail. And we're kind of watching that. A lot of times what happens is the beaver will get real active in the creek, and it's kind of nice for them to hold back some of the water, especially last summer when the water levels were so low, it actually held quite a bit of water in the lake. So that was a benefit to us. And a lot of times what happens now is we'll get a high runoff in the springtime, and it'll kind of self-destruct some of the beaver dams and move them along. So that's kind of what we're going to wait and see if that's the case this year. If not, we'll probably have to get in there and rearrange it for them.
Yeah, so when the check dam's just not holding back enough water, the beaver have to augment it. They really are marvelous to watch. And I know last winter with the freeze-thaw cycle, they were more active around the edges of the ice on the pond itself. And you know, we often see that happening. So one might think ahead in January or February, we might see more activity up on the main body of water.
They may be out as the lake starts thawing out a little bit. The muskrat will probably be out also. And the muskrat kind of stay active right on the west side. There's some springs over there, and they have a food cache and their lodge over there. So they're still real visible and out this time of the year, even in the winter time.
Well, it's a wonderful place to view wildlife in the winter. And of course, the tracks make it all that much more special after a fresh fall and snow. But let's move forward a little bit to the rest of the stuff coming up this year, things that are new and happening, and move forward in the season some. And I understand there's some new facilities for the campers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this fall, this coming fall in 22, we are getting some money to do some campground upgrades. We're going to make each campsite have what we call a living pad, which is a defined area that the campers can occupy to help protect the resource. A lot of the campers want some screening between the campsites, but as they bring more and more stuff, they start occupying more and more area, and we're going to need to confine that if we ever want to get any new vegetation growing and any screening between the campsites. We're also going to try and move the road back a little bit, try and widen it a little bit more. And we're talking just half a foot at the very most. There's a lot of utilities that are already in place that we can't move. So where we have opportunities on some of the corners and stuff, we're going to try and widen that a little bit, as well as put some more service sites in the campground, in the upper loop, 25 through 51, that entire loop will become a service site loop. So a lot of people really like the services and have asked for it for years. So like I said, with the money that we were able to get, we're going to try and make all those improvements in the fall.
And then if visitors haven't been there in a couple of years, they might not be aware of I will still call it the new pavilion. I think it's, 2 years old now?
Yep.
But it's a fabulous addition. Tell us a little more about it and how it's being used.
It's a really nice shelter. We call it our Ponderosa shelter. It's about twice as big as the beach shelter, which is our traditional shelter. So it can accommodate a lot more folks. It's being used for a lot of different things, for weddings, family reunions, birthday parties. Some folks come to the park and want to reserve it for the day for their friends that are doing a bicycle ride around the trail. So it really runs the gamut on what people come to Round Lake to do and just want to have a little place for themselves. It can house a maximum of 50 people. For those reservations and things like that. It's got a really nice big barbecue pit there, or a grill, pardon me for barbecues and things when they're allowed during the season, things like that. It's right next to our overflow parking, so there's plenty of parking for folks that want to use that. And of course, any day that it's not reserved, it's open to everyone to enjoy. So it's a nice little structure, and it's sure pretty, and we enjoy it.
I agree. I'm out at Round Lake quite a bit, and I notice people are using it frequently. It's really an addition to the state park.
Yeah, it's a great spot, and great facilities, including the visitor center, which has a wonderful natural history display. And are there any updates on either the seasonal availability of the information center or anything happening there that's new?
Yeah, we don't have anything new scheduled at this time for the visitor center. We open it in the summertime, generally from the middle of May till the middle of September. And that's generally when we have staff to, be in the visitor center to help people out for information and the gift shop, and have them be able to look at the displays and the interpretive area. We do open that area on request for certain groups or school kids. So all they need to do is get a hold of that. And if we have staff at that time when they're planning on being here, we can arrange for them to come in and be able to look at that. So that's a great opportunity there too.
Sure. Well, Mary and Bart, that leads us into educational opportunities happening. What's going on this winter from that perspective? Any interesting classes?
We are having for the first time last year, we had a short little program going on, but we have the Winter Tracks program going on, and that's put on by the Friends of the Scotchman's Peak. They get volunteers in here. They come in usually, I think most of their times are on Thursdays and Fridays. They come in, they invite the school kids into the park, and they spend the whole day outside learning different activities about trees, about tracks, orienteering. Just, it's a really great day for the kids to be able to get out of the park or out of school and into the parks and get some fresh air and move around a little bit. So that's been a really great program that's really boosted our attendance just by getting them in here. They come back, they bring their family, they enjoy it, and they come back and recreate during the summertime and other times of the year. So we do have those school kids in the wintertime. And then in the summertime, we have the Selkirk Outdoor Learning and Education students that come in for their summer camp. So we're actually getting those people in during that time also. So those are two really nice organized groups that we get in here and just let them have the opportunity to use the park and the resources that are here to be able to explore and see what's out there and learn a little bit more about the natural world.
I understand too, you're partnering with Seoul to put in a pollinator garden this spring.
Yeah, we've been trying to get the pollinator garden going. We had plans, and then COVID hit, and that kind of stopped that. That came to a screeching halt for reasons that everybody understands. And now we're working with the local Bonner County Gardeners and Native Plant Society to try and get plans to get that put together. And we're hoping to be able to do some planting and be ready maybe this spring, maybe a little bit later in the fall.
You know, the birds and the bees
see how everything goes.
The birds and the bees won't wait very long.
That is true. Yes. Yes. We'd love to get some monarchs in here. Butterflies, they were pretty busy last year. We had a lot of butterflies in, and the bees, of course, I love seeing the bumblebees, and it's, they're just so interesting to watch and see how they do their work. So it's going to be a great thing to be able to get in there, see them doing their thing, encouraging them to be here obviously, without some of those pollinators, we would be without a lot of products that we really do depend on, you know, food sources, as well as, you know, everything from certain flowers that make medicine. So they really are important.
Yeah, most of our food, we need them.
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, that's so interesting, and those are great groups to be pairing with. Bill and I have interviewed all of them, and they really are committed folks, so I hope that that can work out at Round Lake. It would be a great addition.
So in the last couple of years, we've had some tremendous windstorms sweep through our area, and we know from being out at Round Lake that the park seemed to be particularly hard hit, and it's changed the feel in some places. So tell us a little bit about the storms, what they did, and the response to it, what's happening there.
Absolutely. We call it the biggest storm we had was our what we call the Friday the 13th storm. It was in March of 2000, Friday the 13th, and it was just devastating. 2020, excuse me. And it was quite devastating to us. We had over 250 trees that were lost just in the campground. We had to clear 60 trees just to open up the day use area on the north side of the road where our shop and maintenance area is. There was just a huge swath of trees coming down. So quite the difference aesthetically. It was so overwhelming. In fact, we had hire loggers to come and log the park and get all that timber out. And we were actually able to get that all cut up in a matter of months and have the campground open for business in the early part of June. What it's done for us aesthetically, though, is quite different. Those that have been coming to the park for years, that's the first thing they notice. Oh, my goodness, it's so much more open. There's so much less shade now, so much more heat, you know. So it's really a double-edged sword. For a lot of folks, they were sad to see it happen. They enjoyed the way the park used to be with all the shade and things. But, of course, we know these things happen in the natural world, you know, and they happen for a reason. So with those trees coming down, it opens up a lot of sunlight to hit soil for new growth, you know, and this is a natural process. Hopefully we'll get some new trees growing in a lot of these areas where the trees went down. So we've had some great volunteers that have worked with us for the past year and a half to clear up the trails as well, to get everything on the ground, clear that brush, open up the viewscapes that were impacted by those windstorms. And I don't know if it was just me or if it, to me, it seems like we're having more and more windstorms. It's becoming more of kind of a natural thing in the springtime, that really, really strong 60-mile-per-hour wind from the north. So hopefully that's not a trend that we continue to see in the future, but we'll just have to see.
One of the things that the windstorm actually did for us is we have a vegetative management plan that we were able to, what we've been doing is working to get some of the mature and overmature trees out of the park and open it up a little bit. So that windstorm really accelerated that process. And we met our goal of about one tree every 30 feet. And so at this point, that's why we're putting in the living pads. We're also going through a process of where we're going to replant some trees, get that going. We're identifying some areas because of the storm and the drought that we've had in the last year, especially last year in 2021, the extreme drought really had an effect on our trees. And what it does is it lessens the viability of the trees and bugs start moving in. So we're also working with Department of Lands to identify some of the Douglas fir that we want to keep. And we're going to be putting up some pheromone packets to basically tell the Doug fir beetle, hey, we're full here. We don't need you around. You're going to have to go somewhere else. So we're going to use that to try and maintain some areas, especially on the west part of the trail in the campground and across the road at the shop. We have a pretty good population of the Doug fir. So we're working with them to be able to maintain some of those larger trees that we still do have. So that is the windstorm kind of was a a good thing and a bad thing. And we're going to take advantage of the good things, and we're going to get a new forest growing. We're going to try and introduce some different trees, hopefully some more white pine, into the park, and get that large canopy growing again so that we can continue to have the shady campground that people enjoy.
Absolutely, because, you know, it is such a, I think of it as such a park of large trees, and there's still plenty of them, but it's good that you've got a great plan to continue, and white pines would be wonderful.
It's such a tricky business managing the natural processes while they're ongoing, and it requires a certain nimbleness, but the vegetative management plan hopefully has some adaptability built in. And speaking of naturally occurring challenges, I know the park has had its hands full with snails over the years. We've talked about that in the past. How's the battle? How's the struggle with snails going?
We have literally had our hands full. Phil, thank you. The battle is ongoing. We have the Japanese trapdoor snail or the Chinese mystery snail, depending on who you talk to. They both refer to the same snail. It's an invasive snail that is taking over the bottom of our lake pretty readily. Most of the local folks that come to the park year round, they know of our snail issue. They've seen the signs, they've seen our bounty systems that we in the fall, we oftentimes give out free ice cream for kids to bring in a dozen snails, things like that. So they're aware, and they help us with that any chance they get. In fact, a lot of the kids just want to be good stewards of the park. They don't even want any ice cream in return. They just want to help us with our invasive species problem. So that's great. Of course, we try to educate as many newcomers as we can on what the snails are, you know, why they're invasive, how they outcompete native crustaceans and the aquatic macroinvertebrates in the lake that make for a balanced, healthy ecosystem. And we try to enlist everybody's help that we can. The biggest issue we have is they're invasive species for a reason. They're so good at adapting to our environment without natural predators that they just overtake everything. And we as humans can really only access, 10 to 20 feet of shoreline around the lake or the inlet or outlet creeks. So all the rest of the bottom of the lake, we just simply can't access, So we have seen, we have had reports of some of the mink and things eating and being predatory on some of those snails, that's helping. But we just can't, it's unrealistic to think that we can get every snail out there. The best we can hope to do is manage it in some of the widest used areas around the lake and the creeks and go from there.
So I think it's a fascinating story of just how the snails came to be. If you want to take us from the start of that a little bit.
Sure. We don't really know how they came to be at Round Lake State Park. We first noticed them in significant numbers in 2019. And we started noticing we're seeing this snail a lot, and I don't really know what this snail is, what's going on. So in talking with Idaho Department of Ag, Idaho Fish and Game, we realized that they are a fairly common snail in aquatic fish tanks and things in pet stores. And one of the theories is that someone perhaps had a goldfish or something like that in a fish tank and didn't want it anymore and maybe thought, oh, we'll let it live and released it into our native waters here. And of course, that's how a lot of invasive species, unfortunately, have been released. So we don't really know how it came to be here for sure. Another theory is it came downstream from Lake Kokalala, which we are, of course, fed from. So we don't know how it came here. And that really doesn't change anything. It is here now. So now we just have to do our best to manage it.
You know, I'm surprised there's not a device like that sort of automated vacuum that can go around your house called a Roomba. I wish there were something like that for the bottom of Round Lake that could just collect snails.
That would be wonderful.
It would probably be pretty indiscriminate, though.
Right. It would have to be able to discern native species.
The sledgehammer approach. But invasive species are such a problem, and that is a cautionary tale to folks for, you know, not disposing of their aquarium or other things into the wild because they have unintended consequences.
Yeah.
So we'll just continue to get updates on that. And hopefully you'll turn the tide on the snails at some point.
Absolutely.
Guys, at least it's not alligators, thank goodness.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think personally we should import about 100 pails of otters, which are just adorable. And then we could be known as the lake with all the otters.
Yeah,
of course, that would be an imbalance as well, but it'd be a much cuter imbalance than the snails.
As long as it's not the mongoose, the whole classic, you know, taking the mongoose in to take out the invasive species, and that went awry. So, Billy, yes. What are we missing? What are you thinking as you roll back through your head your last hike into Round Lake State Park?
Yes, well, you may not like this question, Mary and Bart, because you may not have the answer, but my question is, can we ever get a cross-country ski groomer out there again? Oh, it would sure be fun.
Well, you know, it's always interesting. We're always looking for, well, we don't need to look for more things to do, but we did used to groom trails. And we had the problem of low staff and everybody wanting their trails groomed when we were not even able to plow the roads. So we had to make the decision to plow the roads and save the buildings by shoveling the roofs. But we are actually looking at getting another full-time staff member here at Round Lake. I'm hoping to be able to hire a second ranger here in the next month or so. So once we get some staff going, there may be an opportunity when we can get some more equipment. We no longer have any grooming equipment that we might be able to do that. That's something that we would definitely consider in the future.
And a snowy year like this, it's sure something I think about. Here in Minnesota, my brother volunteers and grooms at a local park, but you'd have to have the equipment, of course, and then you'd need a volunteer who would run around with their snowmobile and the groomer.
Right. And keeping it running and all that good stuff too. So.
Yeah, that too. There's a lot more to it.
Good to have a wish list. And then of course, with all the other multiple uses, figuring out how to make them compatible so that the snowshoers and the fat tire bikers and the cross-country skiers all cooperate.
Absolutely. With so few trails that we have here in the park, everyone kind of, you know, uses the same trail for all their different types of activity. Of course, fat tire bikes and snowshoers can definitely knock down and alter the cross-country skiing trails and things like that. So it's definitely going to also require a cooperation between the visitors that come here in the park.
A whole nother recreation management plan. So, well, before we go, Mary, Bart, anything on your mind you want to share before we sign off?
No, at this time, we're hoping to keep up with the snow, keep the roads open, keep the roads safe into the park. Just want to remind everybody to please pay attention to your pets when you're here, clean up after them, and make sure they're leashed. The deeper snow is going to stress the wildlife quite a bit. So we want to be sure that the wildlife stays safe as well as your pets. Last year, we did have some issues with pets going through ice. They didn't realize that the ice was there. They just thought it was Mother Earth and the ice was thin and they've gone through. So we definitely don't want that situation going on. The policy is for the safety of your pet also. But other than that, we're going to do our best to enjoy the winter as much as we can and be grateful for the water that we're going to enjoy this summer.
And I'd like to remind everybody that comes out this winter to recreate as safely as possible. Plan for your trip, bring traction devices for your feet if it's slick. Make sure you have plenty of water. Make sure you have you know, maybe a headlamp and batteries if you're out longer than you need to. Make sure you have plenty of warm weather gear, as we don't, you know, you can never tell when a storm's going to come in. Just come out and play, but make sure that you go home at the end of the day safe and well.
That's great advice, you two. And just be nice to everyone else too, right? State parks are for people getting along and enjoying the resource.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great advice. Well, we want to thank Mary McGraw and Bart Goodke from Round Lake State Park for joining us this morning on Community Conversations, the morning show. We'll be back next Tuesday. Not quite sure yet who with, but for our loyal listeners, we have a number of great shows lined up for January and February. And if ever you have ideas for Julie or I, just let us know and we're happy to look into them. Right, Julie?
We sure will. If you have an idea, we will bring it to the radio.
There we go. So once again, this is KRFY. You can listen to all of this interview as a podcast in the next few days. It'll be up at krfy.org. And if you are an avid listener and find yourself out of the area on a given Tuesday morning, you can live stream our show at krfy.org. Thank you for listening.